Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Pamela Brewer welcoming you to this edition of Women's Wednesday here on Mind Talk. Women's Wednesday, it's the day that we talk about all things having to do with women. Although I got to tell you, today's guest and today's conversation, fellas, don't go anywhere because this could well apply to you as well. I am very happy to introduce once again Tamara Neal, who is the author of the World's Top 10 Worst Men for Women Guide. This is quite a title, Tamara Neal. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back, Dr. Brewer.
Well, I am delighted to have you back. As you and I have talked, folks were very excited about your first interview and sort of hungry for more of your thoughts. So let's get started with the world's top 10 worst men. How did you determine who were the top 10 worst men?
You know, that's a good question. You always come up with the hard ones. Whew, how did I determine? Actually, it was, I don't think that they're not in the order of the worst. It's only the worst if it's you. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
But I would think that number 10 was the worst. But how did I compile that list?
Yes.
That was really quite easy because I'm finding that unfortunately, we're living in a time where toxic relationships are not uncommon.
It's true.
Healthy ones are.
True.
So you can sit down and have a whole lot of conversations about unhealthy relationships. But when you start talking about healthy relationships, that would probably be the tougher subject. It's unfortunate, but I find it to be true.
Well, I would agree with you. In so many ways, it's not necessarily easier to do an unhealthy relationship. In fact, it's not easier, but it's certainly a lot more common. Let's start with some of the sort of global recommendations that you make to the readers of this book, to the listeners of today's program. One of the things that you say is that no man can make you whole because you are born whole. Talk about that.
Okay. So many times it seems that women or people in general, we look for someone else to make our lives complete. We come into this world already complete. This is what I've come to know. We come into the world already complete. When I start looking for someone else to make, if I find myself feeling like I am nothing without you, then I need to find me.
Okay.
Because when you have yourself, I'm a person where I've learned to play well alone. Once you've learned to play well alone, you are whole. You have found your wholeness, and you are comfortable with being with yourself. You can then be successful with another person. I know I'm kind of talking around in circles here, but you always get the good ones, Dr. Brewer. Just where do you find these things at?
But you know what you're saying, it really does make a lot of sense. And, you know, one of the things that I wanted to point out to the listener is a little bit more about your background, because you were actually a 911 operator for Baltimore, Maryland. So you had more than your fair share of introductions to people and situations that were pretty dicey.
That's true. That was Baltimore County. That's so true.
Okay. And you also have talked about the fact that you use that experience and your own life experience as you talk about these various scenarios, which we'll get to in a few moments. But also, it's clear that this is something that's very, very important to you and that you really want folks to pay attention to themselves.
Yes, that's so true. You know, you could ball it all down. I've been there, done that, wrote the book. But can I give you a quick story to let you know how it kind of all came together?
Absolutely.
Although everything in my life took me to where I am today and took me to the book, I can tell you exactly where it all got started.
I'm listening.
All righty. Okay, I'm going to have to take you back over 20 years ago.
Okay.
I was living in a little small town, in a little small townhouse on a waterfront in a town called Turner Station, right here in Baltimore. It was in the county in Maryland.
Okay.
Okay. I had deadbolt locks on my doors, meaning that I needed a key to get out, and I had a deadbeat husband. Needless to say, I could not find the key to my deadbolt locks, and I couldn't find my deadbeat husband. Therefore, I was locked in. I remember this like it was yesterday. I had a waterbed back then. Dr. Brewer, I don't know if you remember those waterbeds with the rubber mattress and the patch kit up in the headboard in case you sprung a leak.
Kind of, well, sort of anyway. A little bit. Just a little bit.
Yeah, you know, you don't remember one of them. But anyway, I had one. And I was laying there on this waterbed and feeling very depressed. I can almost go back there. And all of a sudden, the bed started to vibrate. Now, when this bed started to vibrate, I was, like, scared. I reached down in the side of it. Now, they did have some water beds that vibrated, but mine didn't have that feature.
Okay.
So I reached down inside of the rubber mattress and the wood frame, and I pulled out this little black box. Now, this little black box was a nightmare for any married woman because there were only three people that carried these little black boxes.
Okay.
They were doctors, drug dealers, and cheating husbands.
Oh.
Dr. Brewer, for the first time in my life, I was holding in my hand a pager. And this thing was vibrating like crazy, 911. Right at that moment, there was a commercial that came on, and I don't know if you remember this, but it was the Dionne Warwick Psychic Hotline.
Okay.
She said, if you need answers, dial this 1-900 number, and for a substantial amount of money, you could dial this number, and she would, you know, tell you your answers that you needed. Now, mind you, I'm holding this black box. It's going 911. I don't have a clue even how to look at it. Them pages were something if you never held one. So anyway, I called this number quick, fast, and in a hurry. The lady said, I'm seeing someone is locked up or locked in. I said, she said, do you know who that is? I said, no. But right away, I thought about that door. I was too embarrassed. I couldn't say I was locked up or locked in. I was a 911 operator. How am I going to be somewhere in a house locked in?
So indeed. Then
she said, well, I'm seeing someone. Do you know anyone that's incarcerated? I said, no, I do not. She said, well, I'm going to tell you this. I'm picking up this vibe too strong on you. She said, because I'm seeing someone that's either locked up or locked in, surrounded by water. She said, but before I hang up, I want to tell you this, and I don't normally tell people this. She said, the marriage you're in, it's not going to last. She said, but you are going to go on and write a woman's book, and that book is going to help women around the world.
Wow.
At that point, I felt like a soldier receiving my orders.
I hear you.
Yeah, I had been writing all my life, so I looked at those as orders, but I had no idea how to get started. It took me 20 years. The dressed-up garbage can player, that was before the word player existed.
Okay, I hear you. So that little black box was quite the awakening and really a turning point in your life.
Yes, it was.
That little black box.
That little black box, yes.
Let me sort of go through some more of the sort of one-liners, but really kind of powerful one-liners that you offer in your book. You say, men like interesting women who have the ability to capture their attention without taking off any clothes.
That's so true. That's so true. And once we get that, you know, I can remember going to a club, and I think I went to something. It was after work, and I had on a pantsuit. And, I mean, I was covered from neck to the feet. And I think that I think that was the biggest response that I've ever received in a club when I wore skirts. I mean, I got a nice set of legs and all, but all of the men said the same thing, you know, it's so unusual to see someone, you know, they were really into this woman that was well-dressed and saving something for the imagination, because men do have an imagination and they occasionally like to use it.
Well, I also noticed that you say, if you're not a stripper, why are you going to the club dressed like one? And, you know, my first reaction to that, I mean, it was something of a chuckle, because how many people haven't heard that from one or the other of an adult as they were coming up? But it also struck me that it sounds kind of old school, if you will. I mean, because nowadays people go to clubs and I think they look for how much they can take off, not how much they can put on.
You know, that is so true. That is really true. And maybe I am from the old school, but I will say this: the same rule still applies. You know, a man likes to, he's a hunter by nature, and he likes to use his imagination somewhat. If I show him everything, then what is there to come back for?
All right. So you want?
So I say, don't play hard to get. Be hard to get. I mean, if I'm giving you everything now, you know, and my rule to it is, if you're gonna show a little top, don't show no bottom. You're gonna show a little bottom, don't show no top. Don't put it all out there.
Sounds like you've got your personal rules ready, and you live
right,
by
them.
Right.
I mean, we're in 2016, so of course, you know, you want to try to be in there a little bit, but, you know, don't throw it all out. I mean, save something for the imagination. And also, when I say men like women of interest, here's a prime example. I'm married now, and to this day, I can jump up and down, do cartwheels in front of my husband, this, that, and other, and he'll go on about his business if he's busy. But if I go into my own little corner and my own little Tamara Neal world, then he's massaging my back, I don't know what's going on. You know, they like women of interest.
All right. You may have told the secret now.
That's a secret, you know? But
You also say...
Yeah, I think I put it out there, didn't I?
Yeah, I think you did. So don't let your husband hear this conversation.
But see, I go into my world all the time, so, yeah. You know, I get a lot of massages.
Well, you know, that kind of goes along with another one of the comments that you make, where you say that you need to make sure that you have a life of your own before you try to be in somebody else's. And it is so completely true that there are people who will just kind of seem to want to glom onto your life and be your life, and they don't have their own friends, they don't have their own interests. And, you know, for some folks, that can initially seem kind of fascinating and wonderful and seductive, but the truth is that is not a good sign.
Yes, it's a suffocating love. When you have a person and they're trying to live their life through you, eventually, once the infatuation is over with, they become draining, where they're draining you.
And not only are they draining you, but given that they don't at least appear to have a well-formed sense of self, that's very shaky ground to try to be in a relationship with somebody like that, who doesn't really have a sense of who they are.
Yes, I agree. I agree with you wholeheartedly.
You also say that folks should think about painful experiences as opportunities for learning. And so many times, certainly I know in my office, I've talked to people, men and women, who will say that they don't want to put themselves out there to be relationship available because they're afraid they might be hurt. They're afraid they might experience pain. And the truth is, I mean, nobody particularly goes out and looks for a painful relationship, but the truth is, if you're in it, you really can learn from it as you move your way through it and out of it.
That's so true. That's so true. When I look back over the relationships that I had in my life, the relationships that were not so good, I mean, if they were great, I would still be there. It amazes me, the people that claim to have never suffered a unhealthy or toxic relationship, but yet they have exes. So if it was so great,
right?
Why are they exes?
Well, you know, the other thing that you point to, the other thing you point to is how important it is to really listen to the things that you say about your own life, both outside and inside. What are the personal thoughts you carry about your own self and your own life, and what do you tell other people? Those are really interesting pieces of awareness that can be very empowering if you allow yourself access to them.
That's true. That's so true.
We're going to go to a break in a moment, but just to sort of circle back to the ex-husband and the deadbolt, deadbeat husband and deadbolt doors, you got rid of that guy.
Yes. Okay. Yes, I did. I got rid of him. I came full circle, and I married my first boyfriend and high school sweetheart.
And is that...
But I had to kiss a few, you know, toads before I met my frog.
And is that the person who you're with today?
Yes, it is.
It's full circle. It's always amazing, and yes, indeed, full circle. Just amazing how many people wind up, as they mature, being back in a relationship with someone that they knew from years ago. I mean, it really is kind of interesting. All right, we're going to take a break in a moment. But before we do that, you know what? There's one more thing that I just want you to talk to us about for a minute. You say follow your gut instinct without denial. What does that mean?
Well, so many times when we meet a person, a gentleman, we want this guy because we're taught as children to look for the knight in shining armor. So love, you know how they say love can be blinding?
Mm-hmm.
Love can really impair your vision when you want it so bad. You want it so bad that you refuse to see what's already there. If you don't see it, you at least feel it. You feel it in your gut. And the proof of feeling it in your gut, the proof of that is when you talk about that person, you leave that part out, that part that bothers you, you don't mention it.
Interesting.
So that part that you're not mentioning, that's the part you need to examine, is what's not said, not what's said.
Interesting. So it really goes back to paying attention to yourself in very clear ways.
Right, and that's why other people pay attention to you sometimes better than you pay attention to yourself. Because when you're talking about this guy to mom, and you're telling her all these great things about him, mom says, well, where does he work? That's the part you left out.
Right. and did he get past third grade?
Right, so, you know, you left all that out. So it's what's not said.
I hear you, folks.
And that's the part that you already know.
Yep.
So it's about getting gut honest with yourself, because we know it's there. It's something I call your gut, my gut. Your gut is your second brain.
Okay. Pay attention to yourself.
And be honest with yourself.
And, you know, that can feel really challenging, and both for men and women who feel as though they are defined by having a relationship, and for people who've really been socialized to sort of dismiss themselves, that idea of paying attention to what you already know, while it can seem kind of scary and confusing, I think the reality of it is hopefully affirming, because it's not that you've got to go out and search and dig. You've got the information already inside. Tamara Neal, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, folks, we are going to continue with Tamara Neal, author of The World's Top 10 Worst Men for Women Guide. We'll be right back. Hello, folks. This is Pamela Brewer welcoming you back to this edition of Mind Talk. And today's guest has actually been described as attending the School of Hard Knocks, where she received a master's degree in relationship disasters. Tamara, this is not a good master's degree to have.
No, it is not, but there is a reason for everything, and so it's something that when as I said before, as you, the question that you had asked about the pain, when we look back over the pain in our lives, each step takes you to the next step, and the pain that I had to go through, if it will save anyone from going through it, I feel really grateful to have lived that life, because I'm well aware now that all things in my life have happened to for a reason, and it's brought me to this day, bringing me to this great radio show with you, Dr. Brewer, and so I wouldn't change a thing.
Gotcha. Well, let's talk about some of these top 10 worst men that you've identified. The dressed up garbage can player, who is that?
Okay, well, let me tell you about the dressed up garbage can, how I came up with that. That comes back from over 20 years ago, as I said before. I was trying to think of this guy. He was a player, but the name player didn't exist. So I wrote the dressed up garbage can. Well, when I finally was in a healthy relationship and decided to, was able to finish the book, because for some reason I could write all this stuff down, but I could not finish this book until I was in a healthy relationship. A toxic person, is very difficult for them to give any advice about relationships. So until I knew what healthy looked like, I had to know both sides.
Gotcha.
You don't want somebody to write you a book that about relationships that's never been on either side. But anyway, back to the dressed-up garbage can. That's why I added player on the end.
Okay.
This is a person that you will more than likely meet him in a club, and you're going to have the time of your life with him. He has a magnetism about him, but here's the thing. The only person that this guy is really interested in is himself. If you venture back to the club, he'll treat you like a stalker. You may develop what's called a type of love, which is called ludus love, meaning that you then fell in love with some flirting. You then became infatuated.
Gotcha. And you know, one of the things that you say about him, which I thought was really interesting, is that this guy rarely uses a credit card. Say something about that. Because, you know, people may think, I could see somebody say, wow, he paid for the whole thing in cash. That means that he is financially sound. But you're saying maybe not so much.
That's right. That credit card is a paper trail, ladies.
Okay,
you know,
then.
So if he doesn't want wifey to know that he was at Fifi's, he's not going to use a credit card for your lingerie. I'm sorry, it's just not going to happen.
Gotcha. And you also say that his bedside manner may vary according to his age and status, but essentially he's saying the same thing and he's behaving in the same way. He'd rather go to your place than his. He seems very sure of himself. He's really handsome and fit, or he thinks so.
Mm-hmm.
So he sounds like he would be hard to resist.
Well, depending on what frame of mind you're in. Back then when I was still in school, in that school of hard knocks, it seems like I was a magnet for these types of guys, you know.
Gotcha.
But once you get to know that woman in the mirror, which I highly recommend, he would be very difficult not to, he would be very difficult to not unravel.
Okay.
Because he's introducing you to this representative.
Mm-hmm.
And I think after about 15 minutes, well, I'm not, well, I ain't that good, but
Okay, 30 minutes.
All right, 30 minutes. After 30 minutes, okay, we would have a verdict on who this guy really is.
Now,
we would have a true identity.
What if this guy tells you that he's in a relationship, but that he's leaving it and you're the perfect person for him?
Okay, that's great. Well, I'll put it to you like this. If he's in a relationship, no. That the guy that you're probably dating is right now in the house that Jill built.
Hmm.
And Jack will not be the same without her. And I hope I'm not talking in too many riddles.
Okay.
I just burst that for a minute. Because you never want to be that, what do you call it, not the fall guy. You never want to be the, who's the person? Come on, Dr. Brewer. The one that you go to after you first come out of
not the side action, the,
no,
I know what you're talking about.
The person right after you come out of the relationship.
The rebound.
The listeners know.
The rebound.
Yeah, the rebound.
Right.
Yeah, you don't want to be the rebound.
So if this guy tells you he appears to be wonderful, but he's telling you that he's leaving, then you need to leave until he gets himself together and actually leaves. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, tell him to call you after he left.
Okay. Okay. And, you know, the point that I would like to make is that this is true for men as well as for women. If somebody tells you they're in a relationship but they're leaving, maybe you do want to wait until they leave. Tamara, I can't tell you how many times I've talked to folks and the guy has been leaving the relationship that she's waiting for him to leave, and it's years. He's been leaving for years. And
that's
then
right.
He can't leave because of the wife is sick, or, you know, the children are in school, or they have to get through high school and then they have to get through college, and, you know, she's waiting around and he's not leaving a thing.
Financial matter. She's gonna clean him out if she finds out. And
right.
But the thing is that ladies really need to keep in mind, and Dr. Brewer, you went down to the you went to Married with Children when you started talking about all that.
Mm.
But
skipped over a couple of guys, huh?
Yeah, but anyway. Yeah, this guy, ladies, I really want you to be mindful when you go after, or if you find, you don't have to necessarily go after a person's man. Their man may go after you.
Right.
But if you find yourself involved with someone else's, with a man that is already in a relationship, know that you are not only involved with him, especially if they're married, they're joined together as one. There are certain things about this man that this woman, if they've been together for a number of years, you're really in trouble.
Okay.
There's a lot of things about this man that this woman has brought to the table. Some of the stuff that you may be in love with may not even be his. That car that he's driving, and, you know,
okay,
that may be her car. A lot of the things about him, the way he dresses, she may pick out his clothes. A lot of women do.
Right.
She picks out a dress and she gives him a suit to match her dress.
So you might actually be in love with his wife.
So you're really in love with his wife. And then and she's the one that trained him. You know, she's got him all trained up and ready to go, and you think you're going to just step in and swipe him out. But then when she's gone and she's no longer doing the shopping, you're wondering, what happened to you? I mean, you don't even dress the same. You used to look so nice when you came. Oh, yeah. She made sure he looked nice before he left the house. This guy was a fixer-upper, and she may have even fixed him up.
All right. You know, a lot of folks have met those fixer-upper men and women. Let's talk about the man in the boy in the man's suit. Kind of sounds like a failure to launch kind of a guy. You know, I really had to chuckle when you said he loves your cooking so much he never takes you out for a meal.
That's right. That's how he works. But in all honesty, Dr. Brewer, becoming a man, as you know, is a process.
Yes.
You know, so the boy in a man suit, this is a man, he hasn't quite grown up yet. He actually plays video games while you go to work. And like I said, it's no one-size-fits-all for him. He comes in all these different ages and ethnic groups. The thing is, depending on what age you're in, the only way that that boy in the man suit is recommendable, if he's between 21 and 30, you both are in your 20s, early, middle 20s, then it might be fine. But when you start pushing towards your 30s and 40s, especially if you get to the point where you have more time and behind you than you have in front of you, honey, you have to put them toys away. You ain't got time for no man that's still playing, you know, that just don't have it together.
Okay. So if you're
running out of time, you know what I mean? If you got time when you're in your 20s, you got time to have a few venomous relationships.
Okay. And your 30s?
The older you get, you're running out of time. You're looking at the best years of your life. You're going to waste the best years of your life on someone that doesn't have their life in order? I don't have a whole lot of time to waste with you now. It's like, next.
That sounds kind of cold. That sounds kind of hard.
It sounds cold and it sounds hard, but it's called reality.
Okay.
I mean, I think the older that I get, the less patience I have. I don't have a lot of patience for foolishness.
So if he's behaving in ways that don't make any sense, they don't make any sense.
Right, they don't make any sense, and you have to call an apple apple. I can't keep squeezing an apple trying to get orange juice. You get a certain age, you know what you want. And I squeeze this orange, and I'm trying to get orange juice and apple juice come out. That's it. Next.
Don't waste your time.
I'm too. You know, when you get a certain age, you don't have the time to waste.
Well, and it also sounds like you don't have the energy or the tolerance to make a bad relationship investment. I mean, we're laughing and we're giggling, but the truth is that these kind of relationships can really be exhausting, really be painful. You're 50, 60 years old, 40 years old, and you're in a relationship with somebody who can't hold a job, can't do anything, relies on you to do pretty much everything. That's not a good sign for that person, let alone for you.
That's so true. And the only relationship that I'm going to have with a man right now like that would be one of my sons.
Okay.
And I'm not going to hold on to that too long. Because, you know, if you get to stroke age, you ain't trying to stroke out.
You know,
I like to live a stress-free life.
Speaking of holding on to your sons, there are, and you don't talk about this in the book, but I'm just curious about your take on this, because there are many, many women who will hold on to their sons beyond the time I would suggest that holding ought to be necessary. You know, he's 25 years old, and she's still doing his laundry and cooking his meals. Mama is. Or, you know, he's 30 years old and she's still paying his bills and, you know, sort of vetting his girlfriends or his guy friends. What do you think about that? A lot of women do that, particularly with their sons.
Well, I have two sons. Well, actually, I have four. My husband has two. I have two. Four. Okay. But anyway, with my boys, I'm going to be real frank about this. When they turned 18, if they weren't in college, I moved them to the basement. By 19, they were, you know, because they were closer to the door.
Okay.
And I have one right now that is still single, and I'm looking for a cougar for him. No, I'm just joking. He's a nice little young lady, but, you know, that's another show. But my thing is this. I feel that you have to throw them out. You have to let them out throw them out of the nest. Even a bird will throw his young out of the nest. He flies or he dies. If you can't, it's just not natural. You're going against the grain. Whenever you hold on to something that you should let go of, there's always a price to pay for that.
Okay.
That's my take.
Okay.
It's not natural. And in the meanwhile, while you're living your life through your grown children, who's living your life?
Right.
Because it's really all about you. Who's living your life?
So if you've got,
you're still raising children that are grown.
If you've got a 40-year-old living in your basement,
right,
and it isn't that this is a temporary thing, because things happen. But assuming that this is sort of the day in and day out kind of environment, you as the parent are not helping yourself as a parent, and you're certainly not helping the child who's an adult but not living an adult life.
That's so true. So true. I mean, you're smothering this child. And, this is going to be a child that, it's an adult child.
Yeah.
It's that simple, yeah.
And that's, again, that's hard for anybody. I mean, I also think about women whose children, and often it's the sons, they've got children, and the parents wind up taking care of the child. This happens with women as well, but
that's true. And
what do you do with that?
Probably another show, but something that I just want to throw out there.
Okay.
Now you have, I keep bringing these clubs up, but you have in the clubs now, you have three generations sitting in a club, mama, grandma, and great-grandma.
Interesting.
Because the ages have changed.
Interesting.
So now mama might be 21, grandma might be 35,
mm-hmm.
and great-grandma is now 50.
Okay.
And the three of them are snuggled up in the club, and great-great-grandma might be home with the babies.
So
the ages have changed. I knew a grandmother that was 27 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. She was 27. She had her first child when she was like 13. And then her child turned around and did the same thing. And now she's a great-grandmother, and she's like 50.
Wow. Extraordinary. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break, folks. And when we come back, we will continue with Tamara Neal, author of The World's Top 10 Worst Men for Women Guide. But again, this is a guide that is actually... Tamara, I'm going to suggest when you publish it that you rename it The World's Top 10 Worst People for Human Beings Guide. Folks, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Good suggestion.
Folks, this is Pamela Brewer continuing the conversation with Tamara Neal. Tamara, you know, one of the things that I wanted just to underscore that was actually mentioned in one of the reviews that the World's Top 10 Worst Men for Women Guide is that this book, it's not written as a clinical, I know more than you do kind of guide. This is described as a heartfelt, personal look at the various kinds of abusive relationships that women find themselves in. It reads like a coffee chat with close friends. And I think that speaks a lot to the genuine way in which you share your own experiences, share the things that you have perhaps not experienced personally but been witness to. And so I just wanted to comment on that because it's an easy read and it gives so much good quality information. So thank you for that, Tamara.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
The Intervention Man. Tell me about him.
Okay, the Intervention Man. Well, at first glance, this is a guy, he appears to be your fixer-upper guy that's down on his luck. But this guy is battling something that is bigger than both of you, and he can and will hold you hostage. My advice to any woman that's dealing with a person that's suffering from any type of addiction, and I've actually been there and done that. I offered to hang around while the person went and got help. And they told me they didn't have a problem. And they were absolutely right. They said, I'm not addicted to drugs. I don't have a problem. And I said, you know what? You're right. You don't have a problem. But I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I put my notice in right then and there because I said, you know what? I ain't the captain. And I ain't going down with this shit. I jump ship.
Well, and it sounds like you really needed to. I mean, the reality is, you're right. You can see whatever you see and tell somebody as much as you want to what your perception is of what they need to do or what they're struggling with. But if they don't see it, it's not going to change. There's no reason for it to change. There's no buy-in for change.
Mm-hmm. Something else that's really sad that I will throw out there, and I'm not trying to discourage anyone, but I've seen this happen on quite a few occasions where a person would stick with a person for years through addiction. They'd be with this person, I mean, 10, 15 years. Person finally get themselves together, and they're really happy for this person because, you know, they're in treatment now. They've been in long-term treatment, 60 days. The person comes home and leaves them for either someone in treatment, someone in the treatment rooms, or loses interest. Now, in the meanwhile, this person that has probably his enabler, who he's been in this relationship with, who has supported him through the whole thing, he no longer has a use for that person.
Mm.
Because their relationship was all about his getting and using. And that goes both ways, male or female.
Yeah.
It wasn't about them. This person may not even be able to deal with you. Somebody said, he acts like a stranger now. Well, he is a stranger. He's a stranger to himself, and you are a stranger to him because he doesn't know you sober. This man gave you his representative that he wanted to, you know, he done told you so many lies trying to keep you around, he can't even remember the role he played sober.
Interesting.
So that's why he seems like a stranger, because he is a stranger. He's trying to feel himself out. When he gets sober, he may not be interested in you. Another tidbit, since this is all about the listener, I do a lot of interviewing, and I had a gentleman tell me, that he was going through a really difficult time where he was homeless. And he would look for a woman that looked like, and he was a drug addict, and this was on his downside, and back when the days got really rough. And he saw a woman, and she's walking down the street, and she's carrying a bag, and he flattered her. He said, can I help you with that bag? I can't believe a nice-looking woman like you would be out here carrying this bag. And she was an older woman.
Okay.
And he moved in the woman's house. He said, I hated, you know, laying up there with her. But I had to get off the streets. So that just goes to show you that just because somebody's a, especially if a person that's suffering from any type of addiction, don't get need mixed up with love.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the thing with addictions are certainly very complicated. And, you know, it's not that if somebody has a problem that you don't want to be in a relationship with them strictly because of that, because quite frankly, everybody's dealing with something. But, you know, what's really important and perhaps the key to any decision you would make is what are they doing about the problem that they have, and do they see it as a problem? That's number one. So when you were talking to your guy and he said he didn't have a problem, you know, again, that's number one. If he doesn't have a problem, then you do get out. But if he or she acknowledges that they have a challenge, they can talk to you about their awareness of it, even if it's a beginning awareness of it. Would that possibly change the picture for you tomorrow, or what would your guidance be in that situation?
It would definitely have changed the picture for me, because you know, I'm a ride or die girl with a lot of things. You know, I'm not saying I jump ship every time the goings get rough, but there are some things that is just, you know, I'm not going to be able to do it. Now, when I sat down with him and said, "Hey, look, there's a problem," I told him that I would be there for him if he wanted to go into treatment. I wanted him to just take that first step and acknowledge that there was a problem. If he would have taken that first step, even if he didn't go into treatment, I may have tried to, you know, hang in there with him for a minute. But when he straight out told me, "I don't have a problem," I don't even know why, you know, he was in so much denial.
Yeah.
And the relationship had gotten to the point that I was actually endangering my life being with him.
That's time to go.
Yeah, it's time to go. When you get to the point that, that's another show, but it's time to go. You know, you say, "Hey, look, this got to stop," or...
You realize that you've identified like three other shows we need to do here.
Right. You know, that top 10 has about 10 shows. Each chapter is a show.
What are some of the ways, and I'm still focused on the intervention man, what are some of the ways or some of the behaviors that one might see that could suggest that there was a problem?
Okay, and again, with that intervention man, you have to look for what's not seen.
Okay.
Like one of the things he did was people that suffer from generally drug addictions, they require a lot of privacy.
Okay.
And they have a lot of fast moves.
What does that mean?
So, fast moves like I'm going to make a run real quick.
Okay.
You know, unexplained fast moves. I'm going to make a run real quick. Friends that suddenly appear that you've never heard them say anything about.
Okay.
Mood swings. That's a big one. They have mood swings. They have, I don't know too much about these. I'm not going to claim to be a big-time addiction specialist. But I do know that you know, they may have weight problems. They get sick. If they don't have any money, they get sick. So, you know, this guy started looking like he was suffering with the flu, but he had the flu too long.
Okay.
So
something was up.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of, and here's another symptom. If you start missing things, that's a big symptom.
Okay.
If you start saying, "Where's that ring I laid over there? And my money don't look right." See, I definitely can't have a addict around me now, because, you know, I don't keep count like that anymore. So.
Well, it doesn't sound like you feel the need to, which is a good thing.
Right. I want to live the kind of life where I ain't got to know exactly where everything at, what's in my purse. You seen people where they come in and you have to say, "Where's my purse?" You know, you're over somebody's house and a certain person come in, you looking for your purse.
not a good sign.
Not a good sign. You're not in good company.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The last person that I just want to touch on a little bit is the guy who's wonderful, he's fabulous, he's cute, he's handsome, he's sexy, and he's in jail. Now, there are a lot of people who are in jail, as we well know, who may or may not deserve to be in jail, but mm-hmm. they're there. And it might be your boyfriend, it might be a family member, it might be your husband. What, if any, thoughts do you have for the person who's not in jail but in that relationship?
Okay, one of the thoughts that come to mind that I want them to know, and this person, number one, for a person to be in love with someone or stand by a person that's incarcerated, for them to be that type of person, they're a good person, they're I want them to know that they are a good person, because they're practicing what's called agape love.
Okay.
You know, but the only thing that I want them to be aware of is the advantage of the agape love is the generosity. So that guy on the inside, he's the receiver, and he has an advantage because of your generosity. But the disadvantage of your agape love is that your partner there is a potential to be taken advantage of,
okay.
You know. And that person are practicing that agape love. They're willing to endure the difficulties that arise with the circumstances, and they're selfless and they're unconditional. So if you're selfless and you're unconditionable, you're also vulnerable to whatever I might throw at you, meaning that if you find yourself, you taking your rent money to the jail,
okay.
Purchasing tennis shoes, just be aware that if you have a bird in a cage and you take care of the bird and all his needs, everything he needs, he's going to show you signs of affection.
Okay.
Some women never received a love letter before, so I know those love letters are great.
Okay.
But when the door to the cage is open, is he going to fly south? Just know. You know, this is the chance that you take. I'm not saying leave him.
Okay.
I'm not saying stay. But know where you stand. This is part of the school. You in the school. You're down in the trenches.
And you need to be aware.
Just be aware. You're running this whole show. And some women have control issues. There's many reasons why a woman want a man. The women that stay with this man, that they were already in a relationship with him, he go to jail. It's not even really about them as much as the women that decide to date a man that they've never slept on the same side of bed when he was in jail when they met him.
Okay.
And a lot of times she'll want him because of something that's lacking inside of her.
Yeah.
Or because she doesn't want an intimate relationship. Maybe she was molested as a child. She prefer to have a lifer.
Okay.
She's got everything but him touching on her. Because when they go there to visit him, it's a wall up. It's perfect.
Gotcha. It works.
Uh-huh.
It works for him or her at that time.
It works. That's right.
Tamara Neal, author of The World's Top 10 Worst Men for Women Guide, which we have just renamed The World's Top 10
right.
Worst People for Humans Guide. What's the website where folks can get more information about the many things that you've written and what you're doing?
Okay. They can go to www.tamaraneal.com, and I'll spell my name. It's T as in Tom, A-M-A-R-A, Neal, N-E-A-L, all one word, www.tamaraneal.com. And for a limited time, if you purchase from the website, I'll be sending out signed copies.
Okay, wonderful. All right, Tamara Neal, thank you so much for joining us. I would imagine that we will be talking to you again.
thank you so much for having me, Dr. Brewer. It is always a pleasure to be on the show.
My pleasure as well. And folks, thank you for joining us on this edition of Mind Talk. Remember that Mind Talk is available to you on demand 24/7 by going to mindtalk.org. That's mindtalk.org. And all the programs are archived under the days in which they appeared. Mind Talk is produced by Jim Brown and 26x2 Communications. If you would like to be in touch with me directly, that number is 301-654-5286. Mind Talk is provided daily as an educational public service, and it is at no time intended to replace any work you may choose to do with a medical, mental health, or other professional. Remember always that you can go to MindTalk 24/7, MindTalk.org, and remember too, if it's unacceptable, then it's just plain unacceptable. You take care.